The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Please hang up and try again.
Grab a slice of the Epic Podcast. Don't stick it in your mouth. Put it in your ear holes now. Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson, Lugo, and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 36. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord. Rachel Shank could not be with us this month.
And this is, of course, October. Spooky October.
It's 2 days to Halloween.
I know, and Halloween is my favorite religious holiday.
Okay, I'm trying to dissect a couple of parts of that. Not just the part where you referred to Halloween as a religious holiday.
Sure.
Uh-huh, I see what you did there. But
thank
the
you.
Other part, yeah. Where, do you even really like Halloween?
I love Halloween.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Which part? Do you like dressing up in costumes, or do you like the spooky stuff?
I like all of it. I mean, I don't get to dress up in costumes because I'm usually working every Halloween.
Yeah.
So it's actually very rare that I get to put on a costume and go to a party just for the fun of it. But I love everything. I love the trappings of it. I love the spookiness. I love the playful horror. I love the cute, scary stuff. I love how it's the opposite of Christmas in that it's unapologetically commercial and makes no pretense that it's not. It is purely just a hedonistic kind of like, this is the one day a year where you can be the thing you really want to be without any kind of judgment because everybody's kind of going crazy. I love it. And in fact, if Halloween could be a gift-giving holiday, I would totally be behind that.
I mean, it is a gift-giving holiday.
How so?
Candy.
Oh, well, I mean, yes. I mean, trick or treat, but it's traditionally just for kids. I mean, I'm talking about like gift giving on the level of like Christmas, where people exchange gifts rather than just give out candy to little kids. Like, you know, I would buy you a thing and go, hey, here's your treat. Here's your Halloween treat or your Halloween trick. Like, or, you know, like maybe pull like a really funny joke or something. You know, I would love it to have it be the kind of gift-giving holiday as, say, like, you know, Valentine's Day is, or Christmas, or, you know, birthdays or things like that.
My birthday is 2 weeks after Halloween.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, when I my mother told me at some point that I was due on Halloween.
You were due?
I was supposed to be born on Halloween.
Oh, I see.
But
oh.
I was 2 weeks late.
Oh, you were 2 weeks late.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And
that would have been awesome.
I've loved Halloween since I was... since I could recognize that a skull was awesome, which for me was fresh out the womb. But I remember learning this piece of information that I was supposed to be born on Halloween and being a little bit disappointed that I wasn't.
Oh.
And I remember telling my mom, I was like, that would have been awesome because then every year on Halloween, which would be my birthday, you could get me one of those awesome masks in the mask monster movie catalogs that I used to read.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The crazy elaborate ones.
Oh, like the full head latex ones?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Those would be awesome birthday presents.
Those would be awesome birthday presents. Those would also, under my regime, when I take over the world and Halloween becomes a gift-giving holiday, those will be very awesome Halloween presents.
Oh, you are going to use your status for good.
Yes.
Oh.
Absolutely.
I don't think that anybody else with tyrannical aspirations is quite as benevolent in their designs as you. So,
no, in
bravo
fact,
to you.
In fact, that's all I want to do. Like, I want to rule the world, establish Halloween as a gift-giving holiday.
Okay.
And then I will retire. And I will pass my mantle on to whoever wants it next.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's
heavy is the head that wears a crown. Heavy is the
okay.
head.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I
love Halloween. I love it, love it, love it. In fact, I was trick-or-treating right up until I was 17 years old.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I remember very distinctly because I rolled with a crew, and by that, I mean my two other dorky friends. Uh-huh. And what we would do is we would start early in the day, put on a costume, make the rounds, switch, go into new costumes, go again, and then late in the night, put on a third costume to get whatever was left over.
And this is when you were 17?
Well, yeah. I mean, years leading up to, but 17 was the last year. Yeah.
But you still were hatching this.
Oh, yeah. Place.
What was that, 1989?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Well, no. Yeah. I mean, like from like 89, basically when I was allowed to start leaving my place on my my home on my own without any kind of real supervision.
Holy crap. I can't believe you were running that nerdy of a hustle that late into your teens.
Well, I realized pretty early on that by and large, adults don't really pay attention to who's ringing the doorbell. They just hand out candy. Like, really? they're not keeping score.
They just think you're a really tall child?
Well, eventually, yeah. I mean, I remember when I was 17, that was a pretty light haul because the adults were like, aren't you getting too old for this?
And you're like, haha, well now me and my friends are going to slash your tires.
No, we never did anything like that. Yeah, that was the last year I did it. And I'm really kind of disappointed that I can't go trick-or-treating because I love trick-or-treating so much.
Did you ever have like a juvenile delinquency relationship with Halloween?
What do you mean?
You know, like slashing somebody's tires.
Oh, like shenanigans? No, I never did anything.
Like
egg somebody's house,
or toilet paper a tree.
No, I mean, I never did that. No,
steal your high school superintendent's mailbox from his home and then smash it, break into the high school, leave it outside of his office, and take a shit on it.
Are you telling me something
here? I'm asking the questions.
No, I never did.
I don't know. It's just pretty standard fair Halloween shit.
No, I never. I'm a goody two shoes. I've never done anything wrong on. Well, that's not true. When I was a very young man, before I was like, but before I started having responsibilities, uh-huh. I never did anything that could even remotely, as a rumor, get me in trouble.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was very much a straight arrow.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, not unlike me today, but my morals are looser.
Well, yeah, but you're still pretty upstanding.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I don't really do much.
Yeah,
yeah. But happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. I worked. I worked in a year-round haunted house.
Yes, you did.
For I believe 8 months when I was 18 years old.
Go back a couple of episodes and hear Nelson's
worst job.
Vaguely gross story about screams.
Oh, that's right. Ooh.
Yeah.
Not good.
Okay. I love Halloween so much. I already said it, and now I'm saying it again.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I love it. I love Halloween. I just love the unbridled, sort of unchecked kind of just. I also love Christmas, but mm-hmm. you know, people are always up in arms about the commercialism of Christmas. There's a reason for the season. It's like no, commercialism is the reason.
No, that is the reason, and that's actually you could break it down that there are several reasons. That there are several factions that fuel Christmas.
Absolutely.
And the best one is the commercial one.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it's all Jesus stuff.
Yes. Yes. And I just love how Halloween is just, it is what it is. It doesn't pretend to be anything other than what it is.
Nope.
And I love it.
You put on your, you dress up like a slutty president.
Fuck yeah.
And then you go and you carve a jack-o'-lantern that really just looks like three buttholes in a gourd. And then you get drunk and you do a bunch of blow in a cab with somebody in a SpongeBob costume.
Wait, whoa. That got weird real fast.
Too specific?
Yeah.
I bet. Okay.
But once again, this year I'm going to be working the entire day on Halloween. I just picked up another gig, and I'm going to be just running around like a crazy person all day long.
Well, I know a couple of your gigs, but you have gigs all day long.
Yeah, I have a walk around restaurant gig from 5 to 6.
No, walk around gig. That's when you just like go up to customers' tables and you're like, "Hey, like you have fresh ground pepper."
Yes.
But instead you're like, "Hey, would you like to see some close-up sleight of hand?"
That's pretty much exactly it.
Do sometimes people say, "No, we're good."
Yeah.
"We're on a date."
Oh, absolutely.
"We're on a date."
Yeah.
"Don't care if that's
yeah, no, absolutely. And if they say no, then
you just go on to the next table.
I just go on to the next table.
Do you do these since it's Halloween? Are you doing these in some sort of costume?
I mean, I'll probably just wear like all black with hints of red, like a red tie or a red pocket square.
Really? That's it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, to be honest, because the thing is because Halloween is one of the busiest days of my year. It's also one of the most profitable days of the year for me. And because I'm doing so many different things, it doesn't make sense for me to put on a costume because what might be appropriate for one thing might not be appropriate for the next thing.
Everything is appropriate everywhere when it's Halloween.
Well, yes, except when I'm working.
Well, let me pitch you a costume.
Okay, go ahead.
Sexy president.
Sure.
Norwegian black metal musician.
Wait, is this the same costume?
No.
Okay, these are two separate. So wait, sexy president. What was the other one?
Norwegian black metal musician. Like corpse paint.
Oh, I see, yes.
Long-haired
yes.
wig.
Okay.
Grim as fuck.
Right. What else you got?
Those were the two on the list.
I'm not going to do either of those.
Sexy president.
Well, the thing is, the problem with needing to, as an entertainer working on Halloween, is that I still need to look professional. I still need to look presentable, right?
Yeah. You wear a really nice jacket with your sexy president costume. It's seriously just a blazer with a flag pin and then fishnets. And you do, every time you gesture, you never extend your index finger. You keep it bent. Right. So it's not too...
Do I hold a pencil in one hand just constantly?
Oh, my God. 5 points for the Bob Dole joke.
No. The thing is, I'm doing walk-around magic early in the day. Then I have my solo show. Gathering the Magic that's going up. And then immediately after that, we've got Epic Win Burlesque presents Tricks, Treats, and Tassels. Yeah, I know. Don't tell. I know. I keep trying to kill Epic Win Burlesque, and it keeps cropping up.
No, you do keep killing it.
Yeah. And then immediately after that, I have a gig at the Pit, which is the People's Improv Theater.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, I have to go to Senior Froggies in Times Square and do like 5 minutes of thing.
Are you effing essing me?
No, I am not effing essing
Senior
you.
Frogs.
Yes, I'm going to Senior Frogs. I'm going to end my night at Senior Frogs.
You know what? It's fitting.
Really?
Let me tell you why.
Oh, please do. I want to hear this.
To me,
yeah.
Going to Senior Frogs in Times Square is the equivalent of going to a really good haunted house.
Okay,
that,
I'll bite.
I would be incredibly terrified and uncomfortable there.
I have never been in there. Oh. And truth be told, I would probably never go there unless I was being paid to be there. Mostly because it's in Times Square and I avoid Times Square like it's the bubonic plague.
You know, I do too. Everybody does who lives here.
Yeah.
Because it's insane and it's crowded,
yeah,
and
right.
It's, you know, it's
locals don't go to Times Square.
No. And that's why locals shouldn't have the right to complain about it.
What do you mean?
I hear a lot of locals, like specifically burlesque variety performers.
Sure.
Who every now and then, if they get booked at a venue that's Times Square adjacent.
Sure.
They will always show up to their gig angry and pissed off, and they'll come in, they'll drop their bags and start grumbling. Ugh, right. Tourists.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is that you're not allowed to do that.
When no.
Times Square. Because
that's where they
here's
are.
Here's the deal.
That's where tourists live.
Here's the deal. You can have Park Slope,
sure,
or Washington Heights or Astoria.
Or the entirety
or
of
Bushwick,
Brooklyn.
All of that. That's yours.
Yeah.
And the Lower East Side. That's
sure.
all yours. Times Square doesn't belong to us.
No.
Times Square belongs to the tourists.
Yes.
So when we go there, we're guests. It is their land. That is all amusement park that was built for them. And we need their money coming into this city.
Yeah.
And also, if it's just the concept that your city is attracting tourists, might I recommend some very cheap property in, say, Detroit? Because
right.
nobody's visiting there.
Nobody.
It just bums me out when people, like, they find themselves inconvenienced because, well, they're going to a gig and they have to pass by, like, this the highest concentration of tourists in the city.
Right.
And then they start complaining about them.
Right. No, I only complain because it's a hassle to walk through.
Yeah.
I could care less that it's tourists or locals. I just don't like crowds in general.
Oh, I don't either.
Yeah.
And but so, they I make mean, it like I would complain about the I would definitely complain like, oh my God, it was so crowded, it took so long to get here, blah
yeah.
blah blah. But I wouldn't turn it into those fucking tourists.
Oh no. I would never say that.
Go back to Ohio or whatever.
Because whenever I go somewhere where I don't live, I become a tourist.
Yes.
And I like the last thing I need is a fucking local or a townie fucking like pulling that
yeah.
kind of like, you know, tribalism shit. It's like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. No, please go back to your neighborhood in which you have such a deep pride where you have lived for 5 years.
Right. Well, at least in New York anyway.
Well, exactly. I feel like a tourist here still.
Do you really?
I don't know how long you have to live here before you can declare yourself a full-time, a full
Well, I think
resident.
Well, I think there's some like New York experiences, like almost like a bingo board that you kind of have to have checked off before.
Okay, go
you...
through some. I'll see if I got some.
Oh dear.
Whip some up.
Let's see. You have to have seen a homeless person defecate in public.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both coasts. I saw it in San Francisco.
Okay.
Too.
I guess you have to. Oh God, what's a, such a, what's a classic? You have to go to a party where you ride in an elevator and when the door opens, it opens up into a giant room where everyone's raving.
Okay, I've done that too.
Okay, good. what are some other, like basically going to see theater in the back of a moving van. You know, just like really like dumb, not dumb, but just like really weird, off the wall, crazy shit that can only happen in New York.
What about this one? Would this count? You do coke in a Lower East Side bar bathroom, then you stumble down on the street and shout, "Hair fucker!" at Minnie Driver.
That counts.
Okay. Check.
you've had to have had at least, you know, like one New York person sighting. Like you must have seen like Paul Simon walking into Macy's or something.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you live and you work here and you pay taxes, then I mean eventually you become a New Yorker.
I'm sure the lifers and the people who actually grew up here, they
right.
probably get a little salty about it. And I would too if people started like
I don't
moved
get,
here
I don't,
and lived here for 5 years, and they're like, "Ha ha, I'm a New Yorker."
Well, I mean, technically, I'm a New Yorker. Like, born, I was born.
Well, you
here.
Were born here, and then you left, and you came back,
right?
And even when you came back, from the time you came back, you've been here longer than I have. I lived here 11 years.
Oh, I came back in '93.
Good God, you're old.
Shut up. I was a youngin in '93. I was like, that was my first year of college.
That was the year I graduated high school.
There you go. See, we're only a year apart, asshole.
Two years.
We're 2 years apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love October. I love the fact that summer is over. I really love the fact that summer is over.
True.
And I'm kind of excited for the winter. So,
cool.
Bring it on.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. Snowballs and and cornucopias and eggnog and apple cider and
I guess we'll touch upon this later in the plugs, but here's a hot tip for people who live in Orlando, Florida. Your favorite Epic Podcast rapper and magician are going to be making an appearance in Orlando, Florida over Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, let's save that for the plugs.
Okay. What else?
I don't know. What do you mean? What else? Are you? We just.
Do you want to talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room?
We probably should talk about the first of all, we're going to talk about the 800 pound gorilla in the room.
Okay.
But I'm curious when you said what else, because before we just launched this episode and we started riffing about Halloween.
Yeah.
This was not any part of a bulleted list. There is no what's next.
No.
We're not really doing like a catch up.
No. Well, it's like I figure we'd exhausted our talk on Halloween.
So what is the next topic?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, since you have brought it up, we should probably address the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Okay.
We did not broadcast an episode last month.
No.
Which I'm sure both of you noticed. But if you listen to this show, then you probably follow us on, or one of us on social media. So
sure.
You probably picked up as to why we did not record an episode last month.
Right.
And I don't feel like I want to force you into some emotional ringer for the sake of... whatever happens. I'm not Barbara Walters is the point.
You're not going to ask me what kind of tree I am?
No.
Okay.
But I feel for the curiosity of our couple of listeners, we should probably address why we weren't around last month.
Well, on September 16th of this year, my father passed away. And it was, although he had been sick for quite some time, and in and out of the hospital for various things, his death was unexpected and quite sudden. And so I've been sort of dealing with that sort of emotional fallout, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I've experienced heartache and tragedy before. So I'm no stranger to that kind of profound grief, but this one just feels different. And I don't know if I have the kind of vocabulary to really drill down on that, except to say that I've had family members die, but all of them were either inconsequential or expected, distant family members or grandparents who were just old and, you know what I mean? It's like, well, of course. Yeah. But this one was really close. This is the first time I've ever lost anyone who was genuinely dear and important to me.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of dealing with that. But at the same time, I'm learning something very unique about me in that I have a pretty pragmatic view about death.
Sure.
And I'm kind of taking this time to objectively look at how I manage grief, which is weird because it's almost like I'm looking at myself from outside of myself. And I'm experiencing what it's like to lose someone like that, and this is gonna sound so weird. I don't know how to explain it except that I find my grief fascinating, and I find the way people handle grief fascinating, and I find people who handle my grief fascinating, and there are people out there who are fascinated with how I'm handling my grief. Mm-hmm. And I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's it's a really weird social experiment that I'm kind of conducting on myself.
Yeah. You're definitely, you say you have had experience with loss in your family before.
Sure.
But given all of those qualifiers, it's not the same thing. That is not like experiencing a loss.
Right.
It's not the same thing. You think it is until it happens to somebody closer or it's somebody much closer, and then you're like, oh, this is that thing.
Yeah.
And it is fascinating.
It's, you know, I mean,
I've never heard anybody use the word fascinating, but and I'm not trying to like wedge my own experience.
No, go ahead.
But I'm
I feel that that's kind of beautiful, a choice of word, actually.
Really?
Because I found it in those early months after my mom's death, also finding that it was all like very, I felt like it was like Lewis Carroll or something. Curiouser, curiouser. People don't know how to talk to me.
Yeah.
That's how I think Lewis Carroll would talk.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that voice again ever.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But I've never heard anybody actually describe it as being fascinating or interesting or curious or something like that. And I feel it's also because I think it's expected that we don't, that we only speak in the most sober of language.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And the most,
I don't see that as mutually exclusive. You know, I can grieve for my father and I can be respectful of him and still have the ability to sort of parse out and dissect my grief and my process, how I choose to grieve and when that happens. Because, you know, and I'm learning so much about myself in grief, and by extension, I guess I'm learning more about the human condition as a result. Like, for instance, because of cancer and because of other things that have happened in my life, I've learned how to be very specific about my needs, about my immediate needs and wants on the internet. And I feel because I have a social presence that's more than just, you know, friends and, you know, close friends and family on social media.
Like, that's the closest you've ever gotten to admitting that you have fans.
I don't have fans. I have,
I'll take it. I don't care. I'm sorry to get sidetracked here, but I've never heard you. Okay, go on.
Fair enough. There are people whom I've never met or only know tangentially who want to know about what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, genuinely are interested and are curious about my life. And, you know, at the same time, I'm gonna say this in the kindest way possible. In my grief, I don't give a fuck about your grief.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that in a callous way. I don't mean that to distance myself, and I certainly don't mean that in a way that means that my grief is worse or better or higher or more important. And quite the opposite. My grief is my personal journey, which means I have to go it alone, which means that, you know, anybody else who wants to bring something to my grief table, I don't want it, you know. And every, you know, it's sort of like a meal that you have to eat by yourself.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
I'm an out of the closet atheist, so I don't want your prayers. You know, your personal story of woe is not going to help me ease my pain any more or any less. In fact, for me at least, hearing personal stories of other people's tragedy burdens me with their stuff. So now not only am I grieving my own thing, now I'm burdened with having to express some kind of sympathy or empathy for somebody else's grief. And that's like, I already have a lot on my plate. I don't need more grief to add to my grief. You know, also, if you're someone who uses the term love and light to be supportive of people who are in need of support, that's fine, you know, because some people actually want that, and that's all well and good. But for me, it is the single most trite, useless term I've ever heard in my life. And that's, I'm speaking from my own personal experience.
In the past month, you've practically turned it into an email signature block.
Have I?
Well, because you've written a number of statuses.
Yes.
that are beautiful and raw.
Really?
and unguarded and vulnerable and touching. And then they all end with this coda that's all like, it started on the first one that was like, please, I don't need your prayers.
Right.
I don't need your wishes of love and light. I just need you to go tell somebody in your life that you love them.
Right.
And that was really touching and moving, and I choked up a little bit when I read that.
Oh.
But since then, it's evolved into this shorthand that's at the end of every one of them. Like, I just hey, internets, I was thinking about my father today, and I was remembering this one experience and how that affected me. No, love and light. Yes, do something nice for somebody.
Right.
Like, it's, I like that. And of course, because it's the internet and because everybody's a fucking asshole,
right.
You still get them.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
That's fine. I mean, you know, there are people out there where, you know, a prayer is a comfort and, you know, do that for them. There are some where getting messages of love and light is a comfort to them. So go ahead and do that for them. And,
yeah.
You know, for some, you know, hearing other people's stories of tragedy and sadness is a help for them. And please go do that. You know, I have learned over the years to be very specific about what I need and want. And what I need and want, you know, it's you know what? I wrote something the other day about about crying in a Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this thing of the best way you can support me is respecting how I want to grieve. And for a lot of people, that's enough. But for some people, they just have this incessant need to do something. And because some of them are far away and they can't physically be here, they, you know, it's like nails on a chalkboard to them. Like, they gotta do something or else they're gonna pop.
Yeah.
And for them, it's all of these platitudes, or at least what are platitudes to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to speak in gross generalities, because I know a lot of people really want to have prayers and they really want to have stories and they really want to have love and light. I don't need any of that.
Yeah.
Which again, I just find really fascinating.
It's interesting. It's also, it's, you are, how do I say this? Caustic.
Really?
As a person. Oh, you are.
Really?
Well, especially if you get, somebody starts talking to you about religion or your yeah. or your beliefs.
Yeah.
You can be.
I can be, you know,
you
you're
can
right.
be, you can be
you're
pretty
right.
caustic.
I can be pretty caustic. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's,
I don't like that.
No,
part
it comes
of
from
me.
A place of exhaustion.
Yes.
Where you have just absolutely had it with, religious imagery and other people's faiths being pushed on to others.
Yeah.
When you are very calmly expressing your lack of interest.
Right. And again, I just want to reiterate, this is not an aspect of myself that I enjoy.
No. Yeah. Or anyone else does.
Okay.
But I got to say this. Ironically, the patience that you are showing with people who, like, are not obeying that online is almost saint-like in nature.
Well, I mean,
that's a thing, though, is that when you get married, your marriage is not really for you
no.
and your spouse. No, it's for your
wedding,
relatives.
The actual wedding.
The wedding. Yes, yes. Not the marriage. Yes. The wedding is for them.
Yes.
You know, much in the way that a funeral is not for the departed.
Oh, goodness, no.
It's for the surviving.
Oh, goodness, no.
And
yeah.
In a very similar way, somebody's sort of compulsion to express their empathy in the way that feels the most right for them
right.
isn't for you.
No. No.
They feel like they will feel they're guilty if they don't do that. If they don't express it with whatever sort of faith-based language that they choose to use.
Sure.
And your job
yeah.
as somebody who is actually feeling the loss
yeah.
is to now tolerate this.
Yeah.
And you're doing it.
Well, I think, I mean, I won't, I mean, but I mean, it's all degrees of involvement on my part. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a stranger, I will be far less tolerant than I would if it was a family member. Right. So if a family member came up to me and said, I'm praying for you, I would say, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they have earned the permission.
Sure, absolutely.
To have at least that kind of social faux pas in front of me, because they're grieving too.
Yes.
Right? They're experiencing a loss as well.
That is the distinction.
Right. But if it's someone online that I've never met in person who only knows me because I have an internet presence or a name that's recognizable in certain circles, and they will say, you know, and they basically go on a little storytelling journey to tell me about this sad time that happened to them, I will, as politely as I can, tell them, I don't need your story. Yeah. Or, you know, or they'll say something like, or, and it, for some people, it's just automatic, which yeah. is problematic. That is so problematic in and of itself, because if it's an automatic response, then again, you're not doing that for me. You're doing that for you mm-hmm. because you're not thinking, right? And if you're not thinking, then you're not being present. And if you're not being present, then you're not actually doing anything for the person.
Why, I appreciate the kind gesture that you've made in light of my in
right.
in the wake of my suffering. That was very thoughtful. Can I now take care of your feelings for you? That's kind of what that shit does, man. I right. got a lot of people
yeah.
that gave me the same thing, where they were like, they would want to share their stories about how yeah. they lost a parent, and yeah. they would like well up. And I'm in like, they've had years now, and I'm yeah. in like days after it, and I'm like,
no.
Oh, do you need me to
I don't
hold
yeah.
you now, because you're, I'm really sorry that you lost here, yeah. just come here.
Exactly. You are now burdened
yeah.
with their tale of woe while you're still in your own tale of woe.
I don't want to take care of you. I want to see how many bars are going to give me a free drink off of this. for the record, zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just, it's people react weirdly to pain and loss and grief, and it's just I'm learning how people deal with that by dealing with my own, and I've gotten comfortable enough in my own skin and confident enough in my own ability to handle sadness and depression, hmm. where I'm not afraid of my own depression anymore. I used to be terrified of it. Now I kind of accept that that's going to, like, right now I'm incredibly depressed. Mm-hmm. And whereas before I would be terrified of it, and I'd be hiding it, I would be avoiding it, I wouldn't be talking about it. And that got me into more and more trouble.
Yeah.
But now I realize that's just a part of the grieving process. It's just part of what's going to happen. I'm just going to let myself be depressed for however long I need to be. And then hopefully, you know, find ways to be happy given the new life that I have, you know, sans a father. You know, I mean, I have so many rules about me, and it's like, I remember threatening to write like a BuzzFeed blog post, like 10 things you shouldn't do when you hear someone's passed away, you know?
Yeah.
And I started writing it, and I quickly realized, no, these are all rules for how to handle Nelson Lugo when he's in the grief. You know, and it's sort of like, it's just, I find it, it goes back to me just finding it all really kind of fascinating, because, you know, because how I am and how I'm doing changes by the hour.
Yeah.
You know, one minute I could be laughing my ass off at something stupid, the next minute I could be crying my eyes out over something stupid. And, you know, I mean, in many ways, I wish I knew all of this when you were going through the loss of your mom. Because, you know, because in much the same way, like, I didn't know how to be with you other than just to kind of check in with you every now and again. And
yeah, you did it perfectly.
Oh, did I?
That's all I needed.
Okay.
I need somebody to check in with me to remind me that somebody was aware what I was going through.
Right.
And talk to me about literally fucking anything else.
Yes.
And I definitely didn't need somebody making their like sad eyes and being like,
yeah, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. People look at me now, A, they don't know how to talk to me.
Mm.
It's like they forgot how to say hello to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give me these eyes like I'm missing a leg.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a three-legged puppy.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Aww. And I'm going to tell you know what? I mean, I am more than willing to give a whole lot of leeway to people who want to pray for me, people who want to give me love and light, people who want to tell me sad stories. I'm more than patient with those. However, and I don't give a fuck if you stop listening after this comment, because you can die in a fire made of 20 other fires. But there was a person who basically wanted to tell me their story about, hey, I understand what you're going through. My dog died.
Ooh.
Now, I get it. There are people out there who love their dogs more than people.
Sure.
There are people out there who love their cat more than people. And yeah. I get how a family pet or a personal pet can be a very vital and important part of your life and the way you identify yourself to the world. Fuck you! Fuck you.
I didn't know what the fuck I was supposed to do. I had all these friends that, like, I hadn't seen in a long time that all of a sudden wanted to make time with me.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, I love
They're
that.
Like, oh, hey, I just want to, like, get together. And so I would, like, see some people because I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to, like, dress myself or I didn't really know what anything I was supposed to do. I was like, oh, I haven't talked to that person in 4 years. That makes sense. I should totally go have lunch.
Yes.
And then get there and be like, what am I doing?
What the fuck am I doing
All
there?
Of my yeah. stuff is at home. I'm going to go back there. But I got together with a friend, and this was, like, within like 2 days of my mother's death. So she was coming to express her sympathy and blah, 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 blah. But like an hour into us hanging out, she was talking about how she and her partner who lived together were both out of work and they were having like a really hard time. Like they didn't know how they were going to pay their rent or if they were going to have to leave town or if they weren't going to be able to find work. And she started crying and she was really stressed out about this.
What the fuck?
And I didn't have the energy in me to utter the words, are you fucking shitting me with this? Do you want me to put my hand on your shoulder and tell you it's going to be okay and you're going to get a job right now?
Yeah.
I'll tell you that in a few weeks, but right now?
Yeah. I think the oddest thing to come out of this is this. I was a single man looking for companionship, and there were a number of women over the past year that I have asked out and made my affections known. Mm-hmm. And each one of them was very lovely and very kind and turned me down, which is fine. That's not a problem. I'm a big boy. I can take someone not liking me enough to be romantically involved with me. I'm still civil and friendly with every single one of them. Mm-hmm. We're not like best friends. Like we don't like go to the movies or anything like that. But we're very, you know whenever there's like a social media thing or we're in the same room, we're very pleasant to each other. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them, every single one of them reached out to me through some sort of message, like email or message or text, to say, hey, I'm very sorry for your loss, which is very kind to say. And if you ever want to talk, I'm here for you. Which is a kindness. It really is. Mm-hmm. However, I don't understand. And I'm not angry. I'm more confused, really.
Sure.
What makes them think that in the most vulnerable, fragile, sort of, you know, soul-breaking moment of my life, of all the people at my disposal that I can talk to, why would I unburden my sadness onto someone who rejected me?
It's,
Again, I'm not angry. I'm just confused.
I think their hearts are in the right place.
Absolutely.
But they have definitely not thought this thing through.
No. I mean, it's they're being kind. They really are. And it's a testament to them as people that although they don't see me as a romantic interest, that they care enough about me to see how I'm doing and offer themselves up as a resource to lean on.
Right.
Which is wonderful.
It is.
It really is. However,
so incredibly misplaced.
Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely misplaced.
That's also another example of the person making the gesture on their for themselves.
Well, I don't know about that. In that
case. Absolutely is.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. To me, there's still a question mark on that. You know, because they could just as easily have not said it. They could have just said, I'm sorry for your loss and left it at that.
That's what they should do.
Right.
If they were considering your feelings a bit more.
Well, maybe.
That's what I
think. Well, maybe they just think that we have a better relationship than just someone who can say...
You might get there, but there's a pretty big... There's a pretty ocean-sized leapfrog from I would like to date you to... I need someone to talk to while I'm mourning.
Right.
Like, you don't just, that's not a natural progression.
You know, and the thing is, I've actually gotten that same, almost that exact same message from dozens and dozens of people. If, you know, I'm very sorry for your loss. If you ever want to talk, never, don't hesitate to call me. I'm an ear for you. And 99% of the time, these are people who I've actually never met in person. Mm-hmm. Or have only ever met once, or are people who are fans of mine. Like they've come to a show and they've seen me perform, and that is the beginning and end of our relationship. And at first, I would just say thank you and then not comment. But it got to the point where it's like, I now have a form letter that I basically copy and paste.
You don't have to do that.
I know I don't. But again, this is a social experiment that I'm too eager to take part in to not do.
Okay.
And basically, it goes something like this. It's like, first of all, thank you very much. It's a very kind gesture. However, and I want you to hear this from a place of actual friendship, I'm not going to take you up on this. I have deep-seated trust issues, and I just don't think that our friendship is there just yet. I would hope that in the future we could get to know each other better and that we could talk about all kinds of things. But for now, I'm not going to reach out to you. And that's pretty much what I've been responding to all of
that comes from a place of being fascinated with this process.
Absolutely.
Because you want to see.
I do.
Do you follow up from that?
Yeah.
And if so, how?
Well, the thing is, it's sort of like, I mean, again, I think it comes from people's just deep-seated, uncontrollable need to be helpful.
Yeah.
And they don't know how else to do it. And
helpful to people they admire.
Right. Right. I mean, it all comes from a place of concern and care.
Yeah.
It's just misplaced.
Yeah. I just can't relate because one of the few benefits in my early mourning process was that I didn't respond to text or emails or Facebook messages for a couple of months.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, what are you going to do? I don't respond to shit. There was a huge outpouring. Thank you if you wrote to me your sympathies following my mother's death. I really appreciate it. And I did appreciate all of it. It felt good to know they were out there.
Yeah.
But I looked at them like birthday greetings on your Facebook timeline. I was like, I don't have to respond to all of these, and I don't have the energy to, and I don't owe anybody shit right now.
No, you don't. No, you don't. I will say that throughout this, it's been absolutely wonderful to be on the receiving end of the sort of outpouring of support.
Yeah.
I don't like to admit this, but it was nice to get messages, even from people I barely know, just concerning, you know, with their concern of you know, their concern for me. Yeah. And it was nice. It was really nice.
So here's a tip for all of you folks out there, all of you listeners. If somebody in your life should experience some loss, the best bet, if you want to express your sympathies to them, just say, I'm sorry for your loss.
That's it.
Don't share your story.
Nope.
Don't offer anymore.
Nope.
You can, depending on the level of closeness that you have with that person. But if you are unsure, and you're unsure where you stand in that relationship, I'm sorry for your loss is a catch-all. It is perfect.
It is
curt. Yeah. And it doesn't place any burden on the grieving party to respond or follow up or... I don't know, somehow thank you for your condolences.
Yeah.
There's a weird etiquette that you don't really understand.
Well, because I think a lot of people don't like talking about death.
Yeah.
At all.
No.
And I have found in this, I actually like talking about it. I actually like talking about the process and the paperwork and the the people you end up meeting and the procedures and talking about where I'm at and all of that. I love the fact that there is a website called Perfect Memorials where you could buy anything you want to put your ashes in. I love that. And I don't particularly think of myself as a morbid person at all.
No.
But there's something about the process of death that just fascinates the fuck out of me. You know, and the apparently the way I talk about death is both refreshing and repulsive to some people. You know,
And fuck them. Doesn't matter. It does not matter. If they want to have Jesus in their death, they can do that.
Go for it.
If you want to talk about embalming fluid in yours,
right,
then they have to respect that.
Yeah, and I think as a general rule of thumb, if you know someone who's going through a loss or a tragedy, really, and this is the hardest thing to do, listen to them. Just listen to them, because I guarantee you they are telling you exactly how they want to be supported, and you get to do exactly what they need. It's really that simple, you know.
And that's your fun tip from your pals at the Epic Podcast.
That's right. And next month on Uncle Nelson's Death Corner, we'll be talking about Harley Davidson versus John Deere tractors. Where do you want to put your cremains?
Oh, God. I would just like to say again, Nelson.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Well, thank you.
Nelson Lugo was a great man.
He was. He really was. Maybe one day I'll tell a story about him. We'll see.
You will tell a dozen stories about him. Shut up, you asshole.
Maybe one day soon I'll tell a story about him on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If it's theme appropriate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll do a freestyle about my mom.
Nice.
I will not.
You don't ever do freestyle about anything. No. Speaking of freestyle. That's the worst segue ever.
Yeah, well, let's do something.
You, sir, have released an album.
Yes, I have.
A brand new...
Five-song EP.
Five-song EP, which I got to say, first of all, you sent me an early copy.
Yep.
And I listened to it all night long, and I love it. I love it so much. Sex Rhymes... your new five-song EP. First of all, why did you switch formats? Because you up until this point have been generally like a long form, like an LP album guy, right? Like 16 tracks.
It's an old business model, man.
What's an old business model? Oh, the long
form? Doing a full-length album and doing physical media, doing actual CD copies.
Right, right.
My peers have already learned this, and they've already...
you're just getting with the times?
I spent 3 years making a concept record, so I'm just now getting around to my next batch of material following that.
Right.
I'm going to try out what the kids are doing, which is not spending thousands of dollars on releasing physical media to store under my bed, and releasing albums...
Digitally,
and shorter ones,
and smaller doses, bite-sized pieces.
Yeah. So, this is my first foray into that. So,
and it's still, I mean, technically, it's still kind of a concept album, isn't it?
Well, it's a themed album.
It's a themed album.
The album's called Sex Rhymes. It's about sex rhymes.
It's a.
There's a song on it called Sex Rhymes. It's the first titular track I've ever had of anything I've released. First title track on all of my albums.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
I really do.
It's really stupid and at times gross and then at times stupid again. So I appreciate
it. No, but the thing is, I say this ever so rarely about things, but it's really intelligently created dumb comedy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the fucking target that I aim for most of the time. Yeah.
Well, no, I think you overshoot into actual, like,
how do I make a dick joke with a five syllable word?
Well, I mean, Your work up until now has always been, I mean, at least in my opinion, quite profound, and I think deeper than you give it credit for. But this one, the Sex Rhymes, is just fun. It's just fun and silly and gross and I felt like I was 12 years old again when I first heard when I started saying boobs. and having that be both the joke and the punchline. I love it.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy with how it came out. Huge shout out to Vince Vandal for producing this record.
Oh, that's right.
He made the beats. He made the mixes. He put up with a million emails from me. and Cecil Decker, who mastered it. You guys made me sound good.
It's really, really good. Are you actually going to do physical media for this, or is it just the digital?
No, it's just the digital.
Okay. And that's how can people get this?
People can get this. It's been out for 6 days. Came out last Friday.
Yeah.
You can get it right now. You can get it on my Bandcamp, which is bandcamp.shaferthedarklord.com, or just go to shaferthedarklord.com.
There'll be a link.
Bandcamp,
yeah.
Button.
Yeah.
You can get it there. It is. Upon its initial release, 5 songs for $4.69.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Thank you. This record is the I am a 40-year-old, 12-year-old. So you can get it at Bandcamp right now for $4.69, or soon it will, in the coming weeks, it'll be available on Amazon, iTunes, and all the other places.
Right.
But right now, go over there. Oh, and when you download the album and you open up the folder so you can drag your MP3s into whatever syncing application you use.
Oh, I know this, yeah.
Be sure to take a quick look. There's a little something extra in there.
Yeah.
A little something for you to look at.
Yeah.
Sex Rhymes. Go get them Sex Rhymes.
please forgive me, because I know you've explained the joke to me. But the cover art is supposed to be evocative of something, and I don't know what it is.
The cover art is a reference to the Steve Albini band Big Black.
Okay.
They put out a record in the 80s called Songs About Fucking.
Yeah, you told me about this.
And
yes, okay.
My
it's all
album
back
cover
now.
Is just a parody of that, because right. My album is also Songs About Fucking, and also I love Big Black and Steve Albini.
There you go.
And I think if he ever saw that, he would hate me. And I think if Steve Albini ever heard my act, he would hate me so much.
Really?
Yeah.
So I know that you're kind of just resting up because you just released this.
Yeah.
But I know you have more material. Are we going to be seeing anything more down the line this year or
not this year?
No.
I will probably put out some stuff next year. There was another album that I was working on. It's been shelved.
Oh, has it?
For a while.
Can I say what it is?
Yeah, I was working on an album called Iowa.
Okay, I remember. Oh, so this basically...
it was a 5-song EP about my family and my childhood and where I grew up. I'm not abandoning it.
Right. You're just kind of putting it on the shelf for a bit.
I'm putting it on the shelf for a bit.
Need to walk away for a little bit.
Yeah. I think what's probably going to happen before that comes out is Junk Drawer 2.
Yeah!
Yeah. As it turns out, I dug up a bunch of other old... songs
that
should have made it onto Junk Drawer that I forgot about.
Oh, nice!
As well as I've got a couple of remixes, I got a couple of covers that I've been wanting to do, and I've got a couple of maybe just new things I'm going to write for it.
Right.
I liked Junk Drawer a lot, and I'm probably going to whip up another one for
it. I really enjoy Junk Drawer.
I'm probably going to whip up another one for 2016, if for no other reason, so then I have an excuse to do a parody of another album cover that I love.
What are your top 5 album covers you want to cover?
Right now I'm thinking about Minor Threat's self-titled album.
Oh, okay.
And that's it.
You know what you should do?
What?
You should do like a recreation of like the Abbey Road cover, but it's all you.
No.
You should do a recreation of what is that? Straight Outta Compton.
I'm not going to do that either. I'm definitely not going to do that.
All right. How about this? Yeah, I got nothing else.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, I guess I'll be looking forward to that stuff. But in the meantime,
yeah, I feel like
we're gonna take a quick break.
It's a pretty long opening segment, yeah. so we need a break. I have to pee.
All right, go pee. But what are we going to listen to on the break?
Oh, I'm going to play a track from my new record, Sex Rhymes.
Hey.
So why don't you stick this in your ear, and we'll be right back
in just a moment.
Never even knew where they came from. Maybe the ocean floor, or so say some. Others speculated that they came from outer space. All we know is that they did come upon the planet's face. Those monsters, horrible things, with gaping jaws, razor-sharp claws and wings, all covered in fur, feathers and nails, lizardish scales with tails they drag behind them, leaving glistening trails. They emerged like something straight from our worst dreams. Sirens started sounding at the sounds of the first screams. Panic in the streets as people ran lest they got caught, crying out, "What fresh hell hath our god wrought?" Locked up all our doors, cocked our guns, and we've called cops. Loaded up our shelters with supplies, pulled out all stops. But none of that was necessary. Seems we were in luck, cause the monsters weren't interested in us. They just wanna fuck.
Monsters, creeping, crawling, shrieking, bawling. All those fucking monsters. Oh, horrible things.
Yeah.
They're coming, what? They're coming, they're coming, oh, they're coming.
They were fuck monsters. Yeah, monsters who fuck monsters. Like sci-fi creatures from an X-rated Buck Rogers. One track, reptilian brains, fucking one another. Stop, drop, and roll, duck, and cover, motherfucker. Sex beasts with two backs and many pairs. Going in and out of one another, fucking everywhere. And even there in hiding spots, we shook to the core when we heard the monster's awful roar. Each of them had 10 dicks. 10 clits and 10 tits, and countless freaky fingers fucking filling every orifice. 10 pussies, 10 assholes, and 10 mouths, from which the thickest viscous ropes of drool would spill out. They were sucking and fucking, choking and gagging, spitting, slapping, or jacking off, watching the most graphic acts you can imagine, like some hentai kaiju with sex toys and everything. Fuck, fill, enjoy, anything.
Monsters, creeping, crawling, shrieking, bawling. All those fucking monsters.
Oh,
horrible things.
Yeah.
They're coming.
What?
Epidemic on our hands, but our noblemen and presidents and priests attached a plan. Boned up France, warned them to pass on the bloody wrath. Tuned in Tokyo, told them to just clear a fucking path. Since they never slept or ate, they only topped or bottomed with caution. We watched the monster drop from exhaustion. When one would fall from fatigue, the others no doubt would crawl inside its dead body and fuck their way out. Twisted into 69s and triple DPs, these beasties brought themselves to rug burn bloody knees. They fucked themselves to death and it was heard on the tube. They left behind ponds of cum, streets slick and sticky with lube, and a whole lot of monster bodies that were gathered and burned. You may ask with some concern, but did they ever return? Well, two of them remained and they've been here all along. They just donned some human costumes, now they're singing this song.
Monsters, creeping, crawling, shrieking, bawling. Oh, we're fucking monsters. Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
We're coming, what? We're coming,
oh,
and then we'll come again.
Fuck.
Monsters, feeding, gnashing, freaking, nasty. Oh, we're fucking monsters.
Oh,
horrible thing.
Yeah.
We're coming,
what?
We're coming,
oh,
we're coming,
oh,
we're coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have no guest on the podcast.
None.
Month.
No this. One.
Month,
nada
episode,
not a soul,
guests,
no, nobody,
it's just us, just us, sad, lonely old
sad,
fuckers,
sad, lonely, depressed old farts.
But here's a thing that we were thinking about.
Yeah,
see, last week was October 21st, 2015.
Absolutely,
this was
a seminal day in pop culture history.
I know, because my Facebook feed was filled up with everybody freaking out because this is the day. In Back to the Future 2, in which Doc Brown sends Marty to the future.
Yeah.
Where we get to see the future world with the hoverboards and
the fantastic utopia.
The self-lacing sneakers and
yes.
Everybody's sharing memes.
The air-drying clothes.
Listicles about the things that they predicted and the things they got right, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's been very excited about Back to the Future 2 this week. So I had an idea.
Oh.
What if?
What if?
Now, this is me. I'm like pitching some sci-fi shit.
Sure. Sure.
What if we had a time machine that could not only travel in time, but could also travel into alternate realities?
I see. Okay.
Hold on. Hold
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And we were to take that time machine back to, today is October 29th. If we took this back to 26 years ago.
Holy shit.
See, Marty, that movie came out in 89.
Right.
So they traveled 26 years in the future to 2015. What if we take it 26 years into the past?
Oh.
Which would have been October 29th.
Twist.
1989.
Right.
Which would have been the month before Back to the Future 2 was released.
Right.
Now here's the thing. What if we could go there? We could travel through that to that time.
Sure.
And it would be an alternate reality because we would be friends then.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be alternate timeline.
What if we didn't travel there, but we sent our audience there?
Wow.
What would that world look like?
I just got goosebumps.
What would that world look like?
I don't know.
I would be so incredibly adolescent.
I wouldn't say a whole lot, actually. I would be so shy about doing anything.
It would probably be like, if we were trying to podcast, which of course we'd be visionaries.
Yes.
Because
no.
That would not exist. Basically,
we'd be creating our own radio show.
Like we both probably did when we were kids.
Yes.
Did you do that?
Absolutely, I did.
You made radio shows?
Absolutely. I made all the radio shows.
Hundreds of tapes of radio shows into a little Radio Shack tape recorder.
I had a two-track boombox.
Whoa. Settle down there.
That allowed me
Quincy
to do
Jones.
Special effects.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So what if we had been friends in 1989 and it were a month before Back to the Future 2 came out and we were still recording radio shows?
I have no idea.
What on earth would that be like?
I don't know.
Well, you're in luck, motherfucker.
What?
Because do you see that big glowing button on your right?
That big giant red candy-like button?
That's the one. Why don't you just go ahead and give a little push and like, I don't know. Let's see what happens.
Oh, I'm gonna push it. I'm going to push it so hard.
Do it for both Marty McFly
yeah.
and for Huey Lewis.
Oh, I do everything for Huey Lewis. Punch it!
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. This is WEPC Radio. Broadcasting live from Corning, Iowa, I am your morning radio DJ host, Nelson Lugo.
I am your other morning radio DJ host, Mark Schaefer.
What up, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, everybody in Radio Land?
I'm visiting my dear friend, and we decided to put this together for the futures and some kind of time capsule.
Yeah, what do you think of Corning, Iowa, from a guy who lives in Miami?
This place sucks.
Yeah, you have stoplights, huh?
You have a lot of corn.
That's all we've got.
I've never seen this much corn. And this many white people in my life.
You probably haven't seen this many trucks either.
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, I know what a truck is, but I've never seen them consolidated in all one place before.
Yeah. So thanks to everybody for listening to our radio show.
Absolutely. The millions of listeners out there. So what's going on, Schaefer?
Well, this is... What?
I said, what's going on?
Oh, but you called me Schaefer. Nobody calls me Schaefer.
That is your name, is it not?
Everybody calls me Mark, but I kind of like that.
Awesome. You are now Schaefer.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it is October 29th, 1989. It's almost Halloween, which is my favorite holiday.
I love Halloween.
What are you gonna be for Halloween this year?
The same thing I'm for Halloween every year.
Kid from Kid and Play? Because that's what your high fade looks like.
Whoa, look, hey, don't.
It looks good. If I could grow hair like that, I would.
Well, you know, I like to get the lines shaved on the side of my head, and so the flat top kind of goes with it.
I remember when we were pen pals earlier this year, and we were sending letters back and forth, and you sent me a picture from your disc camera of you got the Batman logo shaved in the back of it.
Yeah.
That looked cool.
Yeah, that lasted all but 3 weeks.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
Batman.
Batman.
Every year.
Awesome.
What's there fun to do in Corning, Iowa?
We're doing it.
This is it.
Well, we can. Apparently, people like to tip cows, but I haven't done that because they're big animals and they frighten me.
I've never seen a cow before.
I do like to ride my skateboard down at the community building and watch movies on Cinemax. That's pretty much it.
Well,
this town sucks, man.
You should visit me in Miami, because I'll bike down to the beach sometimes and kind of hang out there.
That's cool.
And there's a science museum I go to every now and again.
I like your cop show.
Look, I get it. Everybody loves Miami Vice, except people in Miami.
There's nothing to do in this town. It sucks. Everybody's stupid. Nobody understands. I'm a freshman in high school this year, and I went out for marching band because I like playing drums, and I thought it was going to be fun, but as it turns out, it's a bunch of work, and Mr. Hewitt's a dick.
Who's Mr. Hewitt?
He's the band director.
Oh, all right.
And this town, it's just there's nothing to do here, and it sucks, and it's stupid. So thanks for coming.
Yeah, it's Iowa.
Yeah. So I got a job. I work downtown at the American Theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You work?
I have a job.
Dude.
It's totally legal.
Is it?
I think so. I'm 14.
All right. I had a summer job.
What did you do for the summer job?
I was a lifeguard aide at a city pool.
What did you do as a lifeguard's aide?
I cleaned the pool.
Oh, you were a janitor?
No. No. I was a lifeguard's aide. I got really tan.
So today on our radio show, we're going to talk about the movies that we like that we've seen this year. And really, we're going to talk about a movie that's not out yet.
No.
It's in all the
magazines.
Yeah. I work at the movie theater, and we saw a commercial for this movie that comes out next month.
Yeah.
And
it looks really good.
It's part two to another movie.
Yes.
Do you remember Back to the Future?
Do I? Yes.
It was a really good movie. And next month, they're putting out Back to the Future 2. They're making Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of pictures in an article in Entertainment Weekly that talks all about it.
I saw that same article.
And then we watched the commercial for it.
Uh-huh.
And I just think it's going to be a great movie.
I think it's funny. Michael J. Fox plays himself, and then he plays himself in another time, and then he plays his own dad, or his, then he plays himself old, mm-hmm. and then he plays his own daughter.
And then they go, and then they go in the future, and they have hoverboards that are like skateboards, but they float on the air.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
I totally want one.
And
I can't wait until 2015, because then I'm gonna have a hoverboard.
So that's the movie that's coming out, and it looks really good. I'm gonna go ahead and predict it's gonna be the best movie of the year.
No, what? I don't think so.
What movies did you like this year?
First of all, we have to talk about Batman.
Oh, Batman came out this year. I liked Batman. It had
Batman in it.
It had the guy from Mr. Mom played Batman,
which is weird because it's Mr. Mom and he's also Batman.
I don't know. I didn't like the parts when he was running because I thought he looked weird.
Yeah.
And
also he looked like he had scoliosis.
Yeah. I still liked it. It was still really cool.
It was dark. It was awesome.
It wasn't like that TV show. This is more like the comic books. It's dark.
This ain't for kids.
People die.
Yeah.
I was at this summer camp this summer for smart kids in Iowa, and I read...
Were you there?
You're a douche. I read a bunch of comic books because there was a comic book shop there.
A comic book shop in the camp smart kids?
The camp was at... It was on a college campus.
Oh.
We don't have comic book shops in Corning, Iowa. We don't have shit in Corning, Iowa.
I thought when you camp, you're supposed to like go to the woods and like there's a lake and then you canoe and then
no.
And then you like macrame wallets or something.
No, we lived in a dorm and then we could go downtown where there were things like comic book stores and McDonald's. Whoa. Things that we don't have here.
You don't have McDonald's here?
We don't have any franchises of any sort here. Oh no, that's not true. We have a Pizza Hut.
What kind of dark, empty desert thing do you have here?
Anyway, at the summer camp, I went to the comic book store and I read a bunch of comic books and I read this Batman comic book called A Killing Joke.
Yeah.
And that's, boy, that's, it's really good. It's, there, it's,
changed my
there's,
life.
There's all kinds of like, it's really violent and it's about the Joker. And that's why I thought the Batman movie was, it was pretty good, but it wasn't great because the Joker died at the end and he's not supposed to die.
Yeah.
And he had a name. Like, I didn't know that he had a name, just Jack Napier, and I don't think I agree with that. I bought the Prince tape. There's some really good songs on it, like Party Man and Bat Dance.
Bat Dance!
Yeah. You know another good movie that came out this summer?
What's that?
Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah! I loved it!
I loved it, too.
I loved it. There was a giant walking Statue of Liberty, and that was awesome.
And they shot pink slime on everything?
Yeah. I can't, you know, I mean, with all of these movies coming out as sequels, I can't wait until Ghostbusters 3, because if it was as good as the second... Then I'm just ready for more.
Oh, they're going to make a third one.
Also, Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
That was really good. That was my favorite one so far of the Indiana Jones movies.
Absolutely.
I liked it when the people drank from the wrong cup and their face melted.
You've chosen poorly.
I'm really into horror movies, so I like blood and skulls, stuff like that.
I like that too, but not as much as you do.
Did you see Look Who's Talking?
No, it's about a talking baby.
Yeah, but it's funny. It's the guy from Moonlighting. I don't know. I think Back to the Future 2 is going to be better than those because it's in the future and everything's going to be better in the future.
Everything's better in the future.
Because I will not live in Corning, Iowa. And because I will have a skateboard without wheels.
What are you watching on TV these days?
I mostly watch the Thursday night lineup on NBC. Like the Cosby Show.
I love the Cosby Show.
I have a feeling like it's going to be on the air forever because it's so good.
Well, I hope so. I wish he was my dad. He can do no wrong.
Yeah. And then A Different World is on after Cosby Show.
Sure.
And then Cheers. Oh, Night Court's on after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that show too.
Yeah.
He's the guy, he's like a judge.
Yeah.
In like some dirty city, and he's a magician
too. The dirty city's New York.
Have you been to New York?
Yeah. I'm from there.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were from Miami.
I lived in New York, and then I moved to Miami.
Wow, what's New York like?
It's a lot like Miami.
I'm not ever going to move there. I'm probably, when I get out of here, I'm probably going to go to Los Angeles.
Why?
California.
Why?
That's where they make movies, man.
You want to make movies?
I want to make all the movies.
What do you want to do? How do you want to make, are you going to be in front of the camera? Are you going to be behind the camera?
I don't know. This is what I think would be great. They keep making these cool sequels like The Last Crusade and Ghostbusters and now Back to the Future 2. And this is what I think.
Yeah.
They should make more Star Wars movies. And here's why.
Okay. I'm with you.
Because I don't know if you know this, but Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, they're episodes. Okay. Star Wars is called Episode 4.
Wait, what?
If you watch the words at the beginning, when the words go up the screen,
sure.
At the top, before the movie name, it says Episode.
Okay.
Like it says Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back. So that means that this is episode 4, 5, and 6.
Uh-huh.
So where's episodes 1, 2, and 3?
Well, they got to make them.
That's why I'm going to go to Los Angeles.
You're going to make sure they get made?
If they made movies about, like, either when Luke Skywalker was young.
Right.
Or, like, when Darth Vader was young, when he was Anakin Skywalker still, when he was Luke's father. If it were, like, him and...
So basically, you want to make Star Wars The Wonder Years.
Yeah. But if they make those movies, then they could make more afterward. Because
Here's the thing. Really like Star Wars.
I feel like I'm always going to like Star Wars.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I like Star Wars. My heart belongs to Star Trek.
That TV show that was on like 50 years ago.
No, it wasn't. It was like
there aren't any Wookiees in it, so who cares?
There's Tribbles. They're kind of like they're kind of like midget Wookiees.
If someday they make new Star Wars movies,
yeah,
and they're about Anakin when he's young, there's just no way they're not going to be awesome. That's what I want to see in the future.
You went to
Back to the Future 2. I want to go see Back to the Future 2, but then I want to actually want to see Star Wars Episode 1, the Anakin's beginning.
Hold on, shut up. I want to talk about a thing now.
Okay.
I want to talk about, have you seen the new Nintendo game thing? It's portable.
I saw a commercial for that on TV.
You can play games with like real cartridges and you could just be walking around. It's called Game Something. I don't know. I saw a commercial. I want it.
I want one too. And while I'm at it, I would also like a Nintendo.
You don't have a Nintendo?
I don't have a Nintendo.
Why not?
I don't have a Nintendo.
Is it because you're poor?
Yes. Jake Laughlin has a Nintendo, so I go over there and we play Mario Brothers.
I'm an expert Mario Brothers player.
I have an Atari 2600 because my mom won it in a drawing at a Christmas party at her work.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But I don't have a Nintendo.
Oh.
But the handheld one looks cool.
All right, look. This is a radio show. We can't talk about ourselves the whole time.
Okay.
We got to talk about news and updates and weather and the traffic reports.
And so this is our...
We got to take a music break. And
WEPC's news report. With your anchor radio DJ, Nelson Lugo. Boom, boom.
The serial killer Ted Bundy was executed in Florida.
Good.
What else? Oh, the Voyager 2 spacecraft passes the planet Neptune and its moon Triton and sends pictures back to Earth.
We're going to live on other planets someday, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, what songs, what are the bands that you listen to this year?
I think Paula Abdul's really pretty.
I think she's really pretty, too. I wouldn't tell anybody this, but my mom bought me the cassette single for Straight Up. Because it's really a good song.
Me forever,
Yeah. Are you just having fun?
Do-do-do-do-do.
Straight up now, tell me, is it going to be you and me together? Am I caught in a hit and run? I really like this band Guns N' Roses. They're really good. They're this rock and roll band from LA.
I don't listen to rock and roll.
I've been really listening to heavier stuff. My favorite band is Metallica.
I don't know what
I bought their tape. It's called Injustice for All. It's really good. It's really heavy. It's thrash metal.
What?
It's thrash metal.
What the hell is that?
That's what Metallica plays.
What the hell's a Metallica?
And their drummer is Lars Ulrich. He's the best drummer in the world. And I want to play drums like him. I got to say this, though. There's this home video you can buy of Metallica. And it's got, like, footage of them playing shows and hanging out in their dressing room and stuff. And it was really cool to watch them playing their songs. But there's a part in one of the videos where their bass player, Cliff Burton, who died in a bus accident, is smoking pot.
Yeah.
And that really kind of bummed me out.
Just say no, man.
I'm disappointed when I see people who are talented, like especially musicians, yeah, and then I find out that they do drugs, because why? It seems like that would just ruin your creativity. I just think it's stupid. I think people who do drugs are stupid, and
Schaefer,
that's why I'm never...
Promise me you'll never do drugs.
I will never do drugs.
Good. You're a good man.
A couple of songs that I did really like this year.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Young MC, and he put out a tape called Bust a Move.
Oh, Bust a Move.
And there's another guy, Tone Loc, and his tape has a song called
Wild
Thang. I like rap music. It's fun.
I read a really cool comic book, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're both Batman. One is called...
I like Batman.
Yeah. One is called Arkham Asylum.
I read that.
It's crazy.
It's so crazy. Like, you see all of the Batman villains,
yeah,
but they're all in an insane asylum, and they're all crazy.
Yeah. It's like, but the art is all weird and not what I'm used to.
And there's a guy who like scratches his life story into the floor with his fingernails.
It's like art. And another one, Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, that one's cool too. It's like Batman in the past.
Yeah, it's like one of those Elseworlds titles.
Yeah.
And it's like Batman, but only like in olden times.
Last year, did you read Death in the Family?
Yeah, I did.
Did you vote?
Yes, I voted.
cool. Because you could, at the end of the third issue, you could vote if Robin could live or die. You call a 900 number. Yeah. You vote if Robin lives or die.
Yeah.
I voted that he'd die.
I voted he'd die, too.
Yeah. High fives.
High fives.
I thought he I didn't
I
like
hate him. I hate him.
I didn't
so
like Jason Todd, and I thought they made a good decision to kill him.
Yes.
So that we don't have to deal with him anymore.
I'm so glad that I never have to look at Jason Todd ever again.
Here. So far, 1989 has been a really good year. Batman, Ghostbusters, next month, Back to the Future 2. It's going to be the best movie of the year.
And signing off from WEPC, I have been your radio DJ host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other radio DJ host, Mark Schaefer.
What do we do now?
Did you know that I lost my virginity this summer? In a stable at the 4-H building?
What?
We'll tell that story on the next episode.
Okay.
Oh, this is what we do.
What?
There's that button that those two creepy old guys gave us.
Where is it? Hold on.
It's over here.
Wait, is this the button here?
Yeah, go ahead and push that.
Wait, who gave this to us?
Those creepy old guys.
Oh my God, those guys are so fucking creepy. All right, let's see what this does.
Nice shooting, Tex. That was
interesting.
Stupid.
Yeah,
it was stupid. What I was gonna go.
Stupid. I was trying to be polite. That was stupid. So listen up, Epic Podcast listeners. We need your help. You need to make sure that we never do that again. If you liked it, then send us an email at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
If you did not like it and you would like us to never do it again, please dial 1-900. Die, Robin. Make sure you get your mom's permission first. Oh, nostalgia.
Let's get out of here.
Sweet, ugly. All right.
Let's get out of here.
Do you have anything you would like to plug, Mr. Lugo?
Yes. On October 31st, you can see my solo show, Gathering the Magic, at the Tank Theater at 7 p.m. You can go to nelsonlugo.com for the details. At 9:30 p.m. at the Tank Theater, you can also see the very last Epic Win Burlesque show, Tricks, Treats, and Tassels.
A Halloween-themed Epic Win show is what you should be saying, as opposed to the last Epic Win show, because I've seen so many last Epic Win shows.
I know, so have I.
They're like Robins.
I'm considering auctioning off the branding of Epic Win Burlesque. So if you would like to purchase Epic Win Burlesque for the low, low cost of a dollar, email us at epicpodcast@gmail.com.
I will be co-hosting that show. I'm just going to say that now so I don't have to repeat it when I get to my plugs.
On November 6th, you can see Rap Magic Burlesque at the Black Cat in Washington, D.C. So if you're in Washington, D.C. or the other awesome surrounding cities, then come on out to the Black Cat. Doors at 9, show at 9:30. I'm going to be doing a magic set. Schaefer's going to be doing a whole rap set, and we're going to be doing all kinds of shenanigans in between.
In our nation's capital.
True. And I think that's it for me.
That's it for me. The only two things I have coming up. I've had kind of a busy fall so far.
Yeah, me too.
I was on tour with the Pink Room Burlesque.
That's right.
Twin Peaks Burlesque.
Yeah,
shows.
Yeah.
So and then now there's this whole record deal that's coming out. It's just crazy. So yeah, I'm gonna be taking easy. But you can catch me on October 31st co-hosting Epic Win Burlesque's Tricks, Treats, and Tassels.
That's it.
And you can catch me November 6th at the Black Cat in D.C. with Nelson Lugo.
Sweet. And again, if you are in Orlando over Thanksgiving weekend, you can see Schaefer the Dark Lord and Nelson Lugo at a number of events in and around Orlando, Florida. So check our various websites for those details. I think that's it.
That is it.
Let's get out of here.
Oh, good.
This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 36. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Boo. you for listening to the Epic Podcast.
We'd love to hear from you, our loyal listener. So send us your feedback, love mail, hate mail, dick pics, and recipes to epicpodcast@gmail.com. But seriously, don't send us dick pics.
As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
What do you think about that new doll that's been coming out? It's like a little troll with like a long shock of hair.
Oh, trolls?
Yeah.
Oh man, all the girls at school have those on their pencils. And
I think it's a fad. I think it's, you know, like remember that snake puzzle thing that we had when we were younger? It was like a long thing, and then you can twist it around and make shapes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, remember, that lasted all but, like, what, 3 months?
Everybody was just trying to make another Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
And that snake thing.
Yeah, trolls is a fad.
That's not going to last.
That's not going to last.
That is not going to last.
No.